Noisy over here because I got fans on.
Well, looky there.
All right. So, welcome to week 1029 of the Crankcast.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
How are you? I haven't seen you in a while.
Mostly been losing track of days. I've been real busy.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of say that all the time, though, right?
No, I was having a slump there for a little bit, and now I'm back to being really, like, busy again.
Oh, so you're working, though?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
So you're not upset about it?
Well, mostly no. It's the next 2 months, like into the end of August, I got like a couple of OGNs plus other like monthlies and stuff like that. So I'm looking at probably doing the equivalent of like 4 or 5 books a week for the next 2 months. And that's stressing me out a little bit. Just cause it's a lot of work. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it is a lot of work.
But you know,
I mean, how can you make that, manageable, approachable, not stressful?
Impossible.
Well, then that's not a good thing to do.
No, but I need the money, you know, so.
Yeah.
Plus it's a couple of projects that aren't like my normal kind of thing, so it's interesting in that way. Like, I feel like I've been doing an awful lot of Rick and Morty lately, and that's like been my main thing, you know?
I gotta be honest, I'm kind of surprised that that's still so popular.
I guess it's popular enough for them to keep doing it.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, I really don't know sales numbers or anything.
At this point, the companies aren't, I don't think any kind of entertainment outlet is making stuff that they're not gonna make some kind of money on. They don't really wanna take any chances.
Right. And I mean, we both know from working with Devil's Due that licensed stuff, especially, like, there's a slimmer margin on the profits there.
Slimmer margin, yeah.
Because you gotta pay the licensee.
A lot of people don't realize that, yeah, those licensed properties are not the big, I mean, unless you're doing crazy numbers, they're not the deluge of money that a lot of people think it is.
Right. And then, I mean, you know, you can make money on them. Like,
you have to be like G.I. Joe or Transformers. And even then, I think we have experience in them not doing well.
Right. Right. I mean, you have to have a combination of like a good licensing rate and numbers, essentially.
Yeah. Cause you're banking on nostalgia no matter what. But once you get into, I don't know, was it Power Lords? You know, it's
I don't know, like those new ones that launched, like Biker Mice and Power Lords and,
That is a very,
what's that other one? Robo something? Robo Force.
Yeah, that's a specific niche.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how and if they're going to last because I don't know, I don't understand who the audience is there for that, you know?
I gotta think it's, you're only really selling it to other retailers who think that they can sell it to collectors.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, because RoboForce was a goofy toy that I don't know, did it even have any other tie-ins back in the day?
I never saw RoboForce.
Because I don't remember if it had a cartoon or anything.
I think it's based on a cartoon, isn't it?
It was those little goofy robots with the suction cups on the bottoms of them.
Yeah.
And they were like play, almost like play school toys or something.
All of those toys had a cartoon.
I mean, Sectars at least had a decent toy line. Like, the figures themselves were cool.
I think the toys for Sectars are like the reverse of everything else. They were the cool part.
Yeah. I don't remember if Marvel did a Sectars comic mini.
They did. I think it was it part of the Star line? It was definitely in the same, like, He-Man sort of line.
Yeah, that sounds right. And Biker Mice, I remember having a cartoon, and probably toys.
It was a cartoon, yeah, I knew that. But and they were toys. I mean, everything was a toy. That's how it starts. The cartoons and the TV show and the comic books are just ads for the toys.
And I mean, I'm not trying to pick on just those, because all three of those are owned, licensed by the same company. And I'm not trying to just pick on those, because I could say the same thing about, like, I noticed ROM keeps making a comeback, and I'm not really sure how.
Well, it's the same. Like, I think about, like,
I mean, like, ROM's comics far outlive their toy line. Like, you know.
Like, my favorite character is Blue Beetle. He's not the most popular character.
True.
People aren't clamoring, although there are many Blue Beetle figures. I have them. But
but he has his own feature film.
It's not Superman. It doesn't. And I'm not the only person that has, like, a favorite obscure character. I think most people have a favorite obscure character.
But
that's why they're obscure, is because they're only appealing to us.
I guess Blue Beetle also has the benefit of it's been reinvented a bunch of times. So,
mm-hmm. But that's why it's been reinvented, so they can sell it to another audience.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, like, you know, you could be a fan of Ted Kord or, what's his name, Reyes?
Jaime Reyes.
The newest one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, there's different Blue Beetles for different fandom, I guess, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, I mean, Rom's always still been Rom, like, every time he comes back, you know?
Yeah, but there's always somebody, like, think about how many people you've met at conventions. There's always somebody who's like, oh, man, I remember Rom. And it's like, yeah, I do, too. Why do you have such good and fun memories of him?
I really like the comic.
Kind of lame then.
I mean, I liked the comic book a lot when I was a kid, but.
Really?
Yeah.
The Ditko one?
Yeah, like the, what was that, 70s, early 80s?
Early 80s, not 70s.
Okay, so, like, I mean, I remember reading it as a kid and enjoying it a bunch. Those wraiths were really scary.
Ditko, you know? Did a lot of those,
was that Ditko?
Those, marketing comics, like the tie-ins, because he did that Chuck Norris one, the Karate Commandos.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, going back in Marvel's history, a lot of their licensed stuff, when they would do, like, movie adaptations and stuff, it'd be names that you recognized working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the 2010 adaptation.
Huh? RoboForce only had a direct-to-video one-off movie.
Back in the 80s?
Yeah, it was just like direct-to-video.
Huh.
But it was a toy line, right?
Yeah, it was a toy line.
Okay, yeah.
RoboForce was just that one-off video. There was no series.
And that makes it even weirder that people want that. How did that get so...
And it wasn't even a very extensive toy line, as I recall. There was just a few robots, and like I said, they had those suction cups on the bottom, and you'd stick them to things.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't very poseable. They were kind of... When I say they were like Play School, I just mean they were very minimalist design-looking, kind of. As I remember them, anyway. Like,
yeah.
The Sectars, I remember, they had... Because remember I had some of those when we were in the first office at Devil's Due? They had those weird... the things that the characters would ride, they were hand puppets. You'd stick your hand in them.
The bugs were hand puppets, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they were so cool.
That was like their weird twist on it, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you could pull things...
The figures weren't bad, too. They were slightly bigger than He-Man, and yeah, they had cool weapons, but...
I think that might have put him in a disadvantage, though. Like, being that much larger. Being that much larger was cool, because you could work in more detail and stuff to him. Plus,
did you ever... Buy one and have they see? They must have been more expensive.
I didn't buy one when I was a kid. I remember seeing them. I didn't pick up those other ones because I found until later, like when I moved to Chicago, because I found them in a lot. And I was able to get like a good guy, the bad guy, and the riding puppet things.
Yeah, that was the thing about back in the day, is like there wasn't a Target that had everything. You know,
right.
You remember the Secret Wars figures?
We had Children's Palace, which was a huge toy store.
No, we had KB.
I remember
but
KB.
That was we didn't have a lot of toy stores where I grew up. You'd have to drive to Memphis, and my parents didn't drive me to Memphis much.
Yeah, pre-Toys R Us, we had a big store called Children's Palace that was just dedicated to kids' toys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'd walk down
those
aisles.
All my cool toys were bought at Kmart. Kmart and Service Merchandise. That's where I bought my first G.I. Joes.
Yeah, I used to get stuff in there, too. Yeah.
And my Black Hole figures.
And we had another place called Johnny's Toys, which had, like, a birthday castle in it that you get on a mailing list, and they'd mail you a key to the castle.
Wow.
And then you'd open up the door, and it'd be this... You know, it was usually some little nothing surprise type of thing, but like on your birthday they would give you a thing that you don't get
Must
from the cancel.
Must be nice.
But man,
Must be nice to have such a opulent upbringing.
Oh, not really. I mean, when like I had a, you know, I actually,
fancy pants crank,
you know, toys and stuff. But I do remember walking down, because that's where I first saw like the Dune figures and stuff, because I was walking down the toy aisle at Children's Palace, and I was like,
Dune would have been around that time.
I was like, look at these. These are cool. And I was like, you know, I think I'd seen the movie on cable at that point or something.
I saw it and I hated it.
I saw it.
When I was a kid, I was like, this ain't Star Wars.
I remember thinking, what the heck? Well, I probably wasn't thinking what the fuck, but I heard.
You know what bugged me the most about seeing Dune the first time when I was a child?
What's that?
Was that everybody talked to themselves. Like you could hear them thinking to themselves like a thought balloon. And that bugged the crap out of me as a kid for some reason.
But they did it in comics, you know?
I know, but as a kid, like, for some reason, that drove me insane. It just seemed less serious for some reason when I was a kid.
Oh, man.
Like, Star Wars was a serious movie, but when I was a kid, that was the thing, man.
Yeah, yeah. Also, at Children's Palace, I remember they'd have, like, the entire G.I. Joe line out on the shelves. Because this was a big store, you know?
Yeah.
So you'd walk down this one section, and it was all like boxes of the vehicles, and you know, racks of the figures, and just all out at once, like, you know.
Yep.
And for that being a relatively rare thing, because again, this was like pre Toys R Us in my area.
Mm-hmm.
So that store was like Wonderland. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
Now it's a Walmart.
Now everything's a Walmart.
They tore down.
That's my new podcast, Everything's a Walmart.
They tore down Children's Palace and put in a Walmart, which is not a Wonderland.
Yep. That makes me feel old. Service merchandise, Woolworths.
Service merchandise was cool because you get to watch stuff come down that roller belt.
Only if you bought the big stuff. The toys you could just take off the shelf.
Right, but I mean...
Yeah, I never went over to that side where you had to, like, fill out the form. That was Mom's area. That's where she went to go get stuff.
Did you guys have Gold Circle?
No.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I know that was...
Woolworth's... Service merchandise and TG&Y. Did you have TG&Y?
No.
TG&Y is where I used to get all my Starlog and Mad Magazines.
Yeah. Oh, good times.
Comic Scene was also there later on.
You had to go to like specific places to find stuff. Like, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not going to be one of those like it was better then kind of thing, but it definitely felt more exciting.
It was different because I mean, I didn't like I'd see stuff I'd never even heard of. Like now, I hear about things before it ever comes out. You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So the thrill was a little more then, I think. Like
yes,
the surprise.
Same way. That's why I like getting back issues of comics. You know. Because yeah. I didn't know anything about any of this stuff. It was like going fun researching.
Like, just, you know, the one time I bought Thor, I think, when I was a kid, because I wasn't really a Thor fan, was when I walked in and spun the rack and I saw it was a frog. And I was like,
yeah,
what the hell is totally, this?
Totally how it works, yeah.
That was at a convenient, the chain, the store, yeah. Convenience store.
My first issue of Secret Wars, which not that far from that time, was the I think issue 8 where Spider-Man gets the black costume.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I just saw the costume on a cover, and I'm like, that can't be Spider-Man. And I bought that, and he was like, crazy man.
That was like 85, right?
Sounds about right. I'm not good with dates.
I mean, I know it was like a 10 or 12 issue series, so it probably spanned.
It was 12.
Might have
spanned. I think that issue was like 7 or 8 by that point.
Yeah, because I remember reading an issue of it and playing with it, because remember they put out the Secret Wars figures, like the Superpowers figures?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember playing with one, and no, Superpowers was the DC line, but the Marvel Secret Wars figures they were putting out at the time, I remember playing with one and reading the comic in the car on my drive down to Florida when we moved there. And that was in 85.
Florida. That's where I got a lot of my comics.
Florida?
Florida, yeah. You lived there, though, at the time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's one of those weird things when I was younger, too, that I, my sense of time was really bad. Like, length of time, passage of time.
I think everybody's is, because you're literally developing your sense of time.
Right, and that point. I mean, yeah, you didn't have much past behind you either to judge anything else by, like. But yeah, because I remember, like, I only lived in Florida about a year, maybe a little under a year. But man, that seemed like it took forever. And, yeah, I don't even think it was a year, but it felt like it was so long, like, you know. Anyway, though. But yeah, I there was that sense of just, like, stumbling across stuff instead of already knowing about it when you went to a store or something. And that's, you know, that's, again, like you were saying, that's not necessarily better. It was just, it was different.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what else is new?
What else is new? Probably a lot. It's been a while.
I'm reading this book by a movie critic. Her name was Pauline Kael. And it was a collection of, like, reviews, and I guess it's all reviews. I'm only partway through it now. Might be some essays or something in there, too. But she was, this collection's from, like, 65 to 68, I think. It's called Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And,
like the movie?
Yeah, but this was before that, and she actually says she got the title from an Italian movie poster that she saw. That, I don't think Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was the name of that movie, it was just how they were describing the action in the movie.
Definitely sounds like Italian.
And this woman, I don't, because some, I don't, some of the stuff that she's, I'm reading these reviews on stuff I hadn't seen, but some of it is, and I don't entirely agree with her reasons for disliking stuff. But she is so articulate about why she doesn't like stuff that it's like hard to find a comeback to it. You know, instead of just going because she. From what little I know about her, she pretty much spawned, like, the modern style of movie critiquing, I guess.
Oh.
She had sort of an acerbic wit about her, and she would very much, like, compare it to things in her life, like, why she liked things, why she didn't like things. And I guess, you know, at the time, that was a radical change in how reviewers actually did their job back then. Because she was freelance at first, and then she did a stint from, like, 4 or 5 years at the New Yorker or something like that, I think, as like a regular critic. But yeah, it's just, it's an interesting book, because she comes across kind of stuffy, almost like like, oh, these kids these days, you know, kind of thing. But at the same time, there's humor in it, and she, like I said, she is so very articulate. Like, she expresses herself very clearly and concisely, and like, there's no misunderstanding her. At least not what I've read so far.
Why are you bringing this up?
It's just something I'm reading right now.
Oh.
I said, what's new? And I was like, oh yeah, I'm reading a book.
You're not going to talk about our Kickstarter or the TV show? You're talking about the stuff you've been reading?
Oh yeah, I forgot about the other stuff. So since the last time we talked, you launched your Battlepug Kickstarter.
Well, you're part of it too.
And it's met its, you know, initial funding goal.
Yes.
But it's still got, what, 2 weeks? A week?
Yeah, about that.
So.
About 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
I think 13, 14 days, yeah.
And I saw you were working on some stretch goal-y things.
I gotta think anybody that listens to this has already contributed.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure we're not.
But if you haven't, then do it.
So it's a, is there a short address to get to that, or should you just go to Kickstarter and look up Battlepug?
That's a good question. I think it's kickstarter.com/ Battlepug. Let me look. It's,
is there like a campaign in that address anywhere or something like that? Like /campaign.
I mean, if you go to my if you go to I Hate Mike or battlepug.com, there's a direct link on the front page.
Okay. Or you could just go to kickstarter.com and
just search Battle Pug.
Look, Battle Pug. I mean, I think it's the only Battle Pug there, right?
Yeah, if you go projects/Battle Pug, it's going to come up.
And that's Battle Pug all one word, by the way.
Yep.
As opposed
It's never been two words like a lot of people do.
Yeah, as opposed to if you do look on the web, you will find other things titled Battle Pug.
Yes.
But they are not Mike Norton's Battle Pug.
Oh, yes.
One word. Well, I mean, actually, that's three words because it's Mike Norton's.
That's one of the reasons I started doing that.
Is that like the real Ghostbusters?
Yeah, yeah. It's Mike Norton's Battle Pug.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's you know, cool. Like,
it's very cool. It's the first totally self-published book I've done. So I'm very scared still, but my mind is at ease now knowing that it's going to, that I won't go broke making it.
Right. And short of you getting, like, canceled or something and everybody backing out on their pledges, then, you know.
Well, okay, like, I'm going to knock on my desk. Not that I've done anything to get canceled, but, you know, that's like a horror movie right there that you've summoned up.
I'm just saying, short of any major catastrophe that would cause people to back out of their pledges.
Again, yeah. Knocking on wood again.
My point
it's like
is,
you're trying to have something happen.
My point is that it's funded and it's going to come out at this point. Yes, now you're just going to have to face the realities of, you know, shipping and getting the printing stuff.
Yeah,
boxing up and fulfilling orders. And
I honestly, that is the part that has terrified me for years, literally years. Because Brownie has made that sound like the worst experience that you could ever go through. So I've done a lot of stuff on the front end trying to make sure that I don't get utterly destroyed by shipping.
Right.
Like, I'm doing this through the backer kit thing, so people pay after. I'm not tying it into the price. I don't know if people, I've heard both good and bad about that, but it just seems logical to me. And also, I don't want anybody to be mad if I mess up. So,
right. So you're charging shipping as you ship it, essentially.
Yes. I mean, also that way it's more accurate, and there's a better chance that you're gonna pay less.
Hopefully.
So.
But yeah. So you got that.
But yes, that's exciting, and that's happened.
So you're going to be really busy in the next, over the next couple of months too.
Well, I was going to be busy anyway, but it's, yeah, that's going to make it a little more busy.
Right.
But, you know, that and the books and the TV show, I've got to go, like, I'm doing a signing tomorrow, and I'm doing a signing next week in Jackson, so I'm driving all the way to Tennessee.
You said something about going out to California, LA?
Yeah, I'm going to Comic-Con, because we're going to do a signing out there, I believe.
Right on.
Yeah, I think for the show.
San Diego, right?
Uh-huh.
Wow, man, I haven't been there in so long.
Yeah, I'm not, I mean, it's not something I would choose to do otherwise, really. I'm not going to be set up other than the signing.
Right.
So.
That was always a spectacle, though. It's nice. I mean, it's like going to a carnival or something. It's fun, you know? Unless you're working.
Yeah.
Unless you're working. If you're working, it's not so fun.
Not so much fun, but also I've had a couple of issues over the last couple of years with, like, being in crowds.
Right.
So.
Well, take a Valium.
I'll be taking something. But, yeah. So, have you seen our show, our television show?
That's what I was going to ask. The first episode was last week, wasn't it?
No.
No?
Last night was the third episode.
Oh, last night was the third episode.
Yes.
For some reason, I thought it wasn't coming on until the 20th.
No.
Okay.
It started on the 12th. And it airs every Thursday on Sci-Fi, and then the next Thursday on Peacock.
Oh, right, and yeah, Peacock's the one in the week.
The day after it airs on Sci-Fi, you can watch it on YouTube, I believe.
Oh, really? On the YouTube
TV? You can watch all three episodes right now, Crank.
On the YouTube TV thing?
No.
On just regular old YouTube?
Do a search for Revival on YouTube right now.
I don't want to. Point is no, I actually, to answer your question, I have not seen it.
Yeah, I got that. Your name's only in every comic of it.
Well, yeah, but I don't have anything to do with the show.
I don't either.
Well, yeah, but you're still, like, I mean, you're still getting, like, you know, co-creating credit. I just lettered the thing. I see a trailer. I don't see, here, full episode. Okay, I see it on YouTube. Let me see. I mean, I'm not going to watch it while we're talking.
Yeah, because I'd appreciate that.
That would just be silly. Oh, yeah, I forgot that Resident Alien show is still on.
Huh. I thought you were like a Sci-Fi Channel maniac.
I don't have cable or anything, dude.
Hmm.
So occasionally I was watching some Sci-Fi Channel stuff, like, you know, if they put it on, like, Tubi or something, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a Sci-Fi Channel. I mean, because they used to put on some really good shows here and there.
Well, in my opinion, they still do.
What's this real estate thing?
Surreal Estate?
Yeah. Huh. And another show called The Ark? All kinds of good stuff on here. Well, interesting looking stuff anyway. So how is the Revival show?
Good.
Good?
I mean, it's objectively good.
Good. I, the whole, okay, flipping back to the whole, you know, being afraid of having to do shipping and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
I still haven't even listed those comics, because partly I was busy, but partly I'm like, I kept putting it off, because I'm like, if I sell
them. Well, now's the time.
If I sell them, I have to mail them, you know, kind of thing.
Well, I'm not going to, I can't help you with your laziness.
It's not exactly lazy. It's kind of fear of the unknown.
It's what?
Fear of the unknown.
Fear of the unknown.
Having to ship things? I don't ship things. It's not a thing I do.
Not a thing you do?
Not normally. Anyway, though. Yeah.
You're a consumer, not a supplier.
Exactly. But, wait a minute. Yeah, so anyway, now that I see these on here, I'll check it out eventually.
Yeah, I'd like to know your opinion.
Where's season one? I see a bunch of behind.
The first episode is pretty, like, almost one-to-one with the comic. And then, like, last night was the third episode, and it's probably the most deviated from the story.
Yeah.
So it surprises me, so it's fun to watch. It's not like I know what's going to happen.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yep. I recommend it.
There was something else I was going to ask you about regarding that, but I can't remember
Does this say we only have 9 minutes left?
Yeah. That's the problem.
Jeez, we just started.
We've been talking for about half hour, so.
Wow.
Eventually
we'll have to read all these emails we've been getting since January.
I mean, we could always try to stop it and start it again.
That's up to you.
I mean, if you want to read the emails.
If I want to read, I feel like it's a public service at this point. Because, I mean, seriously, we have ones from January.
Yeah, that's pretty far back. I mean, we read, the ones we read were from, like, around my birthday, last time we read any.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Probably still have a few of those.
I mean, go ahead and start reading one. And then we can, if we, you know, want to keep going, we'll try to stop it and start it again.
Okay, I'm going to read some emails then.
All right.
The first one is from January 15th, and it says, Crancast, you left the K out, John. Crancast 1001, 20 years. And he says, hey guys, it's John from Tennessee. I've been away from the podcast for a while. So have we.
Yeah.
But I decided to check back and see what you guys were up to. As always, it's pretty cool to be able to listen to the two of you shoot the shit while I'm at work or just going about my day. It really does feel like hanging out with old friends. Old boring friends.
Yes.
I put that in there. Even though I've never met Crank and I've only met Mike a couple of times, I do think video version would be cool as well. Maybe try it out for a 20th anniversary extravaganza.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we still talk about it, but as you can see, we're only really talking to each other every 4 weeks now.
And we're even using Zoom, and well, I guess I could have said the same thing about Skype, I mean, because you can video call on Skype too, but whatever.
I'm having real trouble doing my guitar lessons now that we can't do Skype, because there's like a serious lag and audio issues with the other stuff.
Are, really? That bad?
Yeah. It might just be my computer, though. He says he doesn't have it with other people, so it must be me.
What have you been trying? What programs?
I mean, we were doing Zoom, but we've also done FaceTime, and we've done a couple other things. It just doesn't... It doesn't work exactly right.
Hmm.
Mike, are you going to be at the Superman Celebration this year or any cons in Tennessee? I will not be at Superman Celebration, but I will be... I think I'll be at the Memphis Comic Expo this fall, and I'm going to Tennessee next weekend, July 5th, to sign at Comics Universe in Jackson, Tennessee.
Good old Jackson.
Crank, I laughed when you guys mentioned Audacity, but I can't say much. I still use Goldwave for what little audio editing I do.
Wow. Most impressive. I'm surprised that works on modern systems. Do they keep that updated, I wonder?
I don't know.
It's not a program I ever use, but I remember seeing it around back in the day.
Well, I've rambled on too long. Take care and have a good one. Skibbity, Ohio. Okay. I don't know what that means.
It's like a skibbity toilet joke.
Okay.
You know, that YouTube thing.
From March 1st and March 4th, sounds like a, nope, that is a sales ad thing.
Oh.
Yeah, they're trying to get us to pay them to edit our show.
Oh, yeah. Well, we don't need it. I don't edit the show anyway.
from Friday, April 18th, Adam says, come back, Crank. Sunday, April 20th, Adam writes, come back, Crank. Thursday, May 1st, Adam writes, come back, Crank.
Huh. Is that real?
Yeah, that's real.
Oh, okay.
Mike Myers writes,
come back, Crank.
What?
Come back, Crank.
Mike and Crank, I was so great. It was so great to hear the newest episode after what sounded like a much needed break. I know the joke is that no one cares about the show, but without your show, I wouldn't be working in comics. Oh. I honestly feel guilty about that.
Did you say that was Micah?
Micah Myers, yeah.
Yeah, he's a letterer.
Yeah, he says letterer on here.
He was nominated for one of this year's awards. I can't remember which. Eisner, maybe? No.
Maybe.
It was the one, a couple months ago.
I wrote into the show about breaking into lettering, and based on your guys' info, I started on my pet. Really? It is our fault. I seem to remember those emails. I remember you answering lettering questions, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I am now a multi-Ringo Award-nominated letterer. Thank you for your reply all those years ago and for the show that has provided years and years of laughs. Okay, I'll take that.
Cool.
I'll take the credit for that. Instead of Crank, I'll take that credit.
It's all yours, man.
And in fact, I'll take the credit for Micah and John Amor and Declan Shalvey.
Take it where you can get it.
Since they were all early listeners.
Yeah, take it where you can get it, man.
Sure. It's all us. We did it.
Yep.
That's actually all the email. I thought we had more. Sorry.
Oh, cool. Well, we still got 3 minutes to spare.
I think that's it.
Well, thanks for writing, folks. Yeah, how do you want to kill 3 minutes, man?
Oh, I was just going to talk to you.
Oh, okay.
How are you going to spend your summer?
Working.
Yeah, like, me too.
Like I said, I got to do like 4 or 5 books a week for the next 2 months.
Yeah, I'm not that bad, but I mean, I got a lot to do. I mean, I can't draw a book in a week like you can.
I can't draw a book in a week.
You can letter one.
I can letter, yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to letter a bunch of books in a week. That is a weird thing, though, and I don't know, because I used to be, I don't know if it's just the material I'm working on now versus the material I was working on, like, more when I got started, but I do not letter quite as fast as I used to for some
reason. No, you're going to slow down. We're 50 now.
Yeah. Part of it's my eyesight, dude. My near vision is terrible now.
My eyesight is getting worse and worse every day.
So now that I'm working on, like, 4K monitors and stuff, like, the interfaces and the text in the interfaces, I have to kind of, like, when I'm pulling up a file name for placing an art or something like that, I kind of got to have to, like, squint at it.
Because
For some reason, that's not getting scaled up in the UI.
Yeah.
I
notice I can't read bumper stickers now, so I probably ought to go to the doctor.
Anything more than a few feet away, I'm still good. It's just my near vision's, like, real...
Yeah, near vision's bad. Like, I got to get the, like, reading stuff real close gets weird.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to, like, move my glasses around and stuff.
I keep a pair of cheaters around, like, 2-time magnification things so I can pop on if I have to read, like, labels on bottles or something, you know? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, once I get a steady, like, get rolling steady, I can get through stuff. It's just, I'm not as fast as I used to be.
We got less than a minute.
Okay, I guess we should sign off.
This is sad. I usually can't wait to get off these calls, but...
Well, we can
been too long.
We can stop it and start it again.
No, I think this is right. But I think we should do it more often, obviously.
Okay. Well, all right, try to get back on schedule. I keep saying it, but, you know.
Yeah.
We'll try to get back on schedule then.
I'll be better about getting on you about it, because usually you've been the one that's been trying to drive this chicken.
Yeah, I just get distracted.
Yeah, I'll be better about it. So, I'll have to be a big boy.
All right, well, we'll talk to you all soon, I guess.
Yes, we love you. Bye.
Bye.